You're listening to Direction for Life broadcast with Drs. Herbert and Marcia Bailey. For more information, visit rightdirection.info. We hope you enjoy today's broadcast.
Today's message is Faith, Family, and Finances by Bishop Herbert Bailey.
My goal of this month is to have us to get God's plans and God's word regarding our finances so we can do things right and head in the right direction in the beginning of the year regarding our finances. Amen. Now we can call it finances. That's another way of just being church correct. The bottom line, finally, when we say finance, what are we talking about? We talking about money. Will you look at your neighbor and say, money is not a bad word. Okay. How many of y'all got a degree? Okay. Are you trying to get a degree? Okay. Why did you get a degree? Some kind of way related to money. Some kind of way you heard, as the preacher used to say, I heard. Glory to God. You heard. I heard that if you get a degree, you can make more money. Okay, that you didn't just go to college and take all those tests and go through ACT and SAT and all those and deal with all these professors and all that just because you love academia. Amen. And some type of way it was related to money. You even went back to school, some of you, because it was opening up new opportunities for more money. Some of you came to this town for money. Amen. How many of you here are not from Columbia? Raise your hand. Okay, which is not very, for our church, not unusual. I tell people all the time, most of the members of my church are not from Columbia. And the reason why many of us are not from Columbia, particularly, many of us are from down by town. Somebody said, what's down by town? The town of you can't even tell them by the name of. Whenever they ask you, you just say, oh, that's just, it's down by. Okay, so many of y'all from down by town, and you came to, quote unquote, the bigger city. Because you felt it would be an opportunity to make more money. Come on now. I want us to get this, to just be honest with this thing about money. Because when we hear about it in church, people act like you're not supposed to talk about it. Okay? And even churches that don't talk about it publicly, can I tell you, they talking about it when the board get together. They talking about money. Amen. And preachers are talking about it when the church can't pay them money. They talking to boards, and you got preachers leaving the ministry every year because they don't have money. And they got wives saying, now listen, I done supported you for all these years. Now we got to do something with you. Amen. And seriously, there's preachers who leave, pastors leave ministry every year. Their churches are shut down because they don't have money to stay open. Amen. So money is a reality in life. Money makes you mobile in the earth. Say that. Say money makes you mobile in the earth. And now that's just a real nice, profound, intellectual way to say this. You ain't going nowhere without money. Amen. My kids, I raised them. They used to say, well, it's free. I raised them to counter in that whole concept of free. I'll say it's not free. There's nothing free. It may be free to you, okay? If you rode with somebody who wasn't in their car, and I mean, you weren't in your car, and you didn't buy that gas, you got a free ride here, but the ride ain't free. Amen. Somebody had to pay for the car, and somebody paid for gas. It was free to you. It's not free to everybody. And the reason why I say that, because when we hear free, we kind of disassociate ourselves or shut off our brain that money's not involved here. Anything that's provided, there is nothing that's free. The only thing that really was free to us as humans is salvation. And it wasn't free, and free to us. It wasn't free to Jesus. He paid a price. Amen. His precious blood. We've not been redeemed by corruptible things, but by the precious blood of Jesus. So there's nothing that's free. And so things have, people say stuff like, well, the church ought to help people. Amen. You know, church ought to help people and ought to feed the poor and clothe the naked. Okay, this past Sunday in our first service, we helped a young lady who otherwise would not be able to go back to college, and she needed almost $5,000 in tuition from last semester in order to continue going to school. And people think, well, the church ought to help people do that. Well, we helped her. Know why we helped her? Because y'all gave money. Amen. It ain't no mystery how we did that. And so when people talk about all the things that should be free, all the things that church should be doing, well, somebody got to pay for that. Amen. Somebody got to pay for the wall. He said, I ain't paying for no Franklin wall. Okay, but somebody got to pay for it. Amen. All these things we want to do, somebody, some kind of way, you got to pay for it. And those of you who have these grand ideas about socialism, you know, everybody ought to go to school free. Somebody got to pay for it. Teachers got to be paid. Professors got to be paid. Come on, somebody got to pay. See, you can have all these great ideas. Somebody got to pay for it. And the same thing in the church, with all things we desire to do, to bless people and help people and take the gospel around the world. Forget taking the gospel around the world. I can't take the gospel downtown without money. Amen. So with that being said, over these next several weeks, we're talking about money. Finances, economics, but we're talking about money. And you need to understand, it is God's, it is not a bad word. It's not dirty. The truth of the matter is, there's no such thing as dirty money. That's dirty money. No, you can get money in dirty ways, and you can do dirty things with money. But money is neutral. Amen? It all depends what you do with it. That's like saying these are dirty lights. No such thing as dirty lights. It's what you shine the light on. Amen. And so the same thing. So I'm saying this all as a preface so we can just get rid of these negative connotations that we have about money. Praise God. Somebody came up to us Sunday. She said, Pastor Bailey, I've been attending your church for a couple months now. I've been coming, just watching and kind of checking things out. See, I'm a member of another church, but I've been coming here and I've been visiting. She said, and usually, you know, if anybody say anything about money, she said, just make me kind of draw up and make me feel some kind of way hearing about money. You know, she's been feeling some kind of way. She's been visiting the last couple months. She's usually make me feel, you know, people talking about money. And she said, but on New Year's Eve, she said, I sold $100. And so apparently that was probably a large seed because, you know, even if people tithe, there are people who tithe who've never given a $100 offering. Okay? And so she said, I sold $100. She said, I'm here to, she was happy too. This was a Sunday morning. She said, but I'm here to tell you this morning, God already doubled that $100. Yeah. Hallelujah. So she said, I just want you to be encouraged. This ministry that you have here is changing people's lives. And you just keep it up. And I was going to do it anyway. Amen. But I'm glad she got encouraged. But see, my point is, that she was hearing some principles perhaps she hadn't heard before. But she stepped out and did it. The principles of giving and receiving, sowing and reaping. Amen. And just starting, as we're going to start tonight, just with the basic understanding, it is the will of God that you have more than enough money. Some of y'all had a problem with that right there. There's some people sleeping up here tonight, but I wouldn't sleep on this if I was you. Unless you got all the money you want, I would wake up. Glory to God. Okay? Say that. Say, it's the will of God that I have more than enough money. When I speak of having more than enough money, I'm talking about more than enough just to pay your bills. You're not blessed the way God wants you to be blessed until you have enough to pay somebody else's bills and help somebody else without it negatively affecting your finances. Hallelujah. Okay? Just now, listen to me. Right now, if you had to, could you pay your mortgage and somebody else's mortgage of the same amount and it not affect you? Could you pay your car payment and somebody else's car payment right now and it not affect you? Okay? And I'm telling you, if you're not there, and that's just, and for, you know, depending on what your car payment is, what your mortgage is, that may not be that much. But if you can't do that, then without it negatively affecting you, then I'm telling you that you don't have all the money God wants you to have yet. Amen. So let's start this here, this faith family finance. I first prepared this probably 15 years ago, and the only thing that's been updated on y'all's copy is my picture on the back, okay? Because they had this guy, they had this skinny guy with hair on his picture, and I said they got to update that to make him look like me, okay? But I prepared this probably over 15 years ago. I remember I was doing a seminar in Atlanta for a church during a conference that they had, and I prepared this. And I don't think I ever really taught it in this succinct outline with you. So let's start it. And we're talking about faith, family, and finances. Faith, family, and finances. So first of all, I want to tell you that God is concerned about families. Okay? In Genesis 7:1, when God said he was going to send a flood. Before it rained, he told Noah, he said, come thou and all your house into the ark. You and your house. That means he's concerned about families, right? In verse 7, it says, so Noah went in. Noah went in with his sons, with his wife, and his sons' wives. Amen. The daughter-in-laws was glad they had married those Noah boys. Amen. I'm sure some of them had some problem. Talking about, I wish I didn't marry you. Wish I didn't marry this family. Y'all think you all that and all this kind of stuff. Just because your father Noah and all. They probably, amen. But then after that flood, they was glad they married those Noah boys. Okay? Because his sons, his wives, and their wives came into the ark because of the waters of the flood. Now, Genesis 12:1-3, I always talk about this because Abraham is known as the father of faith or the father of the faithful, okay? All of us who believe in Jesus Christ, the Bible says we are blessed now right along with faithful Abraham. He's the father of faith, okay? He's the father of this monotheistic, serving one God. And the place he came from, they were serving various gods. But God spoke to Abraham and he called him. He initially was Abram and said, and now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of your country, from your kindred, and from your father's house unto a land that I will show you. But now watch this. God's concerned about families, but now he first speaks to him. He says, now, in order for me to do what I need to do with you, I'm initially going to need to separate you from the family that you're familiar with. Okay. And the reason why I talk about this so much, because I can relate to this. Okay. As a teenager, I left my family church. Okay. Took a lot of criticism and all this kind of stuff for that. But I knew what God was dealing with me about. And I knew what God was telling me. I was serious as a teenager about the things of God. Okay. And I knew it was more to this than just standing on the promises and singing these hymns that we were singing every week and getting up there reading it every first Sunday, rereading the church covenant, talking about we will abstain from alcoholic beverages, and wasn't nobody in the church abstaining from nothing. No, I'm very serious about it. It used to bother me as a child. I would read this. And y'all know what I'm talking about. Who come out there, come out of that church. Okay. They didn't have screens, thank you. Charades. they didn't have screens and video monitors back then. And so they would come out on the first Sunday and they had this big like scroll thing that he put up. And they put it up in front of the church. And this is the church covenant before we took communion. And they said, and we will abstain from the use of alcoholic beverages. And the organist was drunk while he was saying it. Yeah. Okay. That's the church I came out of. Now, maybe that wasn't the case with everybody's church. That was my church. Okay. My mother and Aunt Dottie, and none of them was abstaining from no kind of alcoholic beverages. They must have thought it said, I will obtain, I will obtain alcoholic beverages. Maybe they didn't understand, maybe they weren't very literate. Okay. But I knew it had to be more to this than just this stuff we're saying in church. And I saw my uncle, Bishop Bailey, and the life that he lived and how he had a relationship with the Lord, and it made a difference. And the Lord called me out. Okay, he called me, and then when we left New Jersey and we moved to Oklahoma, and then we moved to South Carolina, and we went around family. It was because God was wanting to do something special and unique with us. So he tells Abraham, leave your country, your kindred, from your father's house, and I'm going to a land I'm going to show you. And he said, now, that was the first thing he had to leave. The second thing, now, if you do this, and this is contingent upon this, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and you shall be a blessing. So God said, if you would do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to need to separate, but I'm going to do something special with you. Okay, I'm going to make of thee a great nation. I'm going to start something new with you. And many of you, you have to get a vision that I don't care what family you came from, how they lived, what they had, what they didn't have, how they thought, how they acted. God can make something new from you. Amen. He said, I will make of thee a great nation. I'm going to start a whole new family, a whole new nation from you. I'm going to bless you, make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. And then verse 3 says, and then I'm going to put such a blessing on you. I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you, and in these shall all families of the earth be blessed. I heard somebody say many years ago, we got in verse 3, God put a boomerang anointing on Abraham, that anybody who blessed him, boom, God blessed. Anybody who tried to curse him, boom, God cursed. Okay? And so God can bless you in such a way. Anybody who blesses you, they get blessed. Anybody who curses you, they get cursed. They get cursed because you don't have to fight your own battles. God will defend you. God will fight your own battles. Any of y'all living witness that God will fight your battles? Amen. I'm a witness that God will, when you have the blessing of the Lord on your life, God will fight your battles. And then that last part there was fulfilled through Jesus Christ becoming the Savior of the world and Jesus Christ coming down through the line of Abraham. And in thee or through your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed. And that's because Jesus Christ came down through the land of Abraham. And so now we come to Genesis 28. In Genesis 28, Jacob, he comes to a particular place. And he put stones there for his pillow. He's sleeping. And verse 12 says, and he dreamed. A lot of places the Bible says, and he dreamed a dream. Because that's usually what you do with dreams, right? Don't you dream a dream? I always find that funny when the scriptures say that. And he dreamed a dream. But he dreamed, and this is what he saw in a dream. He saw a ladder set up on the earth, reaching to heaven, and angels of God were ascending, going up, and angels of God were coming down the ladder. Who was on the ladder? Angels. What are the angels doing? Going up and coming down. Who was on the ladder? Angels. What were they doing? Now, where we get that? We are climbing Jacob's ladder. Jacob wasn't even climbing the ladder. Okay? See that? That's religious stuff. Don't line up with the word. Don't say nothing about Jacob wasn't even climbing the ladder. Why are you trying to get on the ladder? Okay? And so it was Jacob's, there was a dream of the ladder that Jacob had. And he saw angels. And this represents angels ministering to Jacob, bringing from heaven what he needs here on earth. And he has this vision. And God appears to him in verse 13. He says, I'm the Lord God of Abraham, your father, who was really his grandfather, and the God of Isaac, that was his father. And the land that where you're lying on, I'm going to give it to you and your seed. God keeps talking. He introduces himself to Jacob in the context of family. And then he keeps talking family. He said, I'm the God of your grandfather. I'm the God of your father. And I want to be your God. The land that you're on, I'm going to give it to your family, to your descendants. So God's concerned about family. And your seeds are going to be as the dust of the earth. And they're going to spread abroad to the west, to the east, to the north, to the south. And in your seed shall all families of the earth be blessed, or through your seed. And how does that happen? That's because Jesus Christ comes down through the line of Abraham. Y'all with me here? Psalm 37. David says, the latter part, he said, I've been young now and I've been old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He said, I've not seen the righteous forsaken. Somebody who's right with God and got right standing with God. He said, I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Can I tell you, it is not the will of God for you to be begging bread. Righteous people should not be begging bread. I didn't say righteous people won't go through trials. I didn't say righteous people won't go through trouble. I didn't say righteous people won't have attacks. But righteous people should not have to beg bread. Amen. I saw this word and I believe this word even when we didn't have bread, which means food. I refused to beg for it. I said, I'm going to trust God for it. Amen. And literally there was a time in the early days of Pastor Marston and I's marriage, you know, when we had one child at the time, and thank God for breasts. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Couldn't afford no formula. Thank God for you rich parents who can afford formula. We didn't do formula. Glory to God. We didn't have formula. We had God's supply. El Shaddai. Glory to the many-breasted one. Hallelujah. And so Chandler was good. Chandler's good, but I had to believe God. Okay, for us. But really, again, you've heard us talk about we qualified for WIC and all that kind of stuff. But I had got a hold of God's word. I got a hold of these scriptures. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging for bread. I'm not begging for bread. I'm the righteousness of God. Oh, come on. Now, I had to fight with this word. It didn't look like it was right. It didn't look like it was happening. But I knew I had right standing with God, and I'm serious. And it was that time that we saw what Jesus said. He said, "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth." And then he goes on to say, "Give us this day our daily bread." And I had to believe God, and we trust God for our daily bread. I'm very serious about this, y'all. I'm not lying to you that we didn't have daily bread. But I said, "We're going to church anyway." We don't know what we're going to eat the next day. But I go to church, glory to God, and teach Bible study. I was teaching prosperity. I was teaching from Brother Hagin's books about God will supply your needs, all according to those riches in glory. Watch this. I wasn't seeing all the manifestation in my life yet, but I knew his word was true. I knew my life don't change the word, but I knew the word can change my life. Glory to God. And watch it. And I wasn't being paid, wasn't on staff. Okay. And any of that. Well, not in any official capacity, you know, in terms of being paid, but I was assistant pastor of the church, choir director and all that. And I would leave. And some mother would walk up to me and say, Oh, Reverend Bailey, that message has blessed me so much. I just want to give you a little something, something, and put $10 in my hand, $20 in my hand. And she didn't know that was God showing himself strong. I ain't begging bread. I got $20. We're going to go buy some right after we leave church. Hallelujah. Amen. I remember, remember, honey, we had people, I'm just saying how God's work. We had people didn't like the pastor, but loved us. Didn't like the pastor, but loved us. Remember that woman worked at the fish market? Okay, she would call us up and say, "Well, we got a whole bunch of whatever kind of fish today. If y'all want some, yeah." Amen. And then another time, I had no money for the rent. I didn't tell anybody. And that woman, Mrs. Davis, called us up and said, "I'm calling y'all because the Lord put you on my heart. Do y'all need your rent or something?" Yeah. Glory to God. I'm serious, y'all. We didn't ask anybody. We didn't tell anybody. God supplied. Amen. I've never seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. And that's not supposed to be your permanent state of life. Amen. God didn't bring you to leave you in the wilderness. He wants you to come to the land that flows with milk and honey. You only go through the wilderness so you can learn to trust him. So you can learn that his word is true. He said he humbled you and allowed you to go through the wilderness for 40 years. Your feet didn't swell and your raiment didn't wax old. He said, but he did this so he can teach you that man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out the mouth of God. So we trusted God. I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And then we go on to tell you that we want to know that God desires to financially increase you and your family. Say, God desires to financially increase me and my family.
You can prepare your family's future by making important financial decisions now. Lack does not have to be in your family line if you apply key principles. Bishop Herbert Bailey shares biblical and practical wisdom to move your family forward in these poignant teachings. order today, you can also get the MP3 download. Just call 1-877-798-LIFE or go online to rdci.info. For immediate access, subscribe to rightdirection.tv. Ask for Faith, Family, and Finances.
If you are in our area, come join us at one of our three locations.
In Columbia, South Carolina, Sunday morning worship is at 7:30 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. Wednesday Bible study is at 12 noon and 7 p.m. Friday, women's Bible study is at 12 noon. Our worship center is located at 3506 Broad River Road in Columbia. In Orangeburg, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Trey and Katie Brave for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 990 Willington Drive in Orangeburg. In Florence, South Carolina, join us with campus pastors Dwayne and Denise White for Sunday morning worship at 10:30 a.m. and Tuesday evening Bible study at 7 p.m. We're located at 1507 King Avenue in Florence. Please email your testimonies to praisereport@rightdirection.info or letters can be mailed to P.O. Box 21672, Columbia, South Carolina 29221. Please consider partnering with us or send a one-time financial gift. For more information, visit our website at rightdirection.info or call us toll-free at 877-798-5433. Right Direction Ministries, empowering people and changing generations.